You're listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode features a conversation between NYSAC Executive Director Steve Nicuario and Dave Lucas, NYSAC's Director of Finance and Intergovernmental Affairs. They discuss investment in economic development, latest data on distribution of sales tax, and how county finance departments are navigating revenue challenges, delays, and unknowns.
Thank you for joining us. This is Steve Nicuario, the director of the New York Association of Counties, and I'm joined by David Lucas, who's the director of intergovernmental relations and finance for the New York Association of Counties. Dave Lucas, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad to be here in the office.
Dave, let's talk about October 2020. This is a month, typically a very busy month for local government or county government officials as they are structuring their spending plan for the subsequent year, 2021. This year, a little different than other years. Why is this year a little abnormal in terms of budgeting?
Yeah, there's the major difference this year clearly is the pandemic and the economic restrictions that have occurred because of it. There's just a lot of unknowns in this budget process. It's not unusual to have to make best estimates on revenues and expenditures in a normal budget year, but we've got huge chunks of our budgets for a lot of counties where they have no idea of what their state revenues might be next year. The governor is saying 20% plus cuts are possible, but we're waiting for Congress to hopefully step in and provide some additional resources. And another major revenue stream, sales tax for counties, very unknown on how things will proceed next year. We've seen huge losses for counties with some restorations coming over the last month or two, you know. So it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen next year on a major revenue source. So those two factors combined are really causing difficulty. And normally, as you mentioned, October is a very busy time of the year for county budget officers and legislatures as they introduce their budgets, start working on them. We've had half a dozen counties actually delay the implementation of their budget introduction to a later point, sometime further into October or even into November, to give them more time to figure out what's the landscape going to be. Will I have more information on how's my sales tax going to be? Is the governor going to follow through on his cuts? So quite a few counties have delayed. That's pretty unusual process for counties to undertake when we've got 18 counties that should have submitted by October 16th, and we've only got a dozen budgets submitted.
Dave, sales tax and property tax are predominantly the way that county governments operate their budgets. In the 90s, of course, 80s and 90s, property taxes were financing the vast majority of the county operations. Those lines crossed in the 2000s, in the 2010s, where the counties were limiting their property tax growth rate levy and relying more on sales tax. What do we know about sales tax right now, as that is the number one driver for the local governments to fund public safety initiatives, to fund public health initiatives, to fund infrastructure and economic development, health and human service programs for our aging population and our youth? That's what we use to run our government predominantly now. We have a property tax cap. Of course, counties were not raising their county property taxes even before the state imposed property tax cap. They were generally raising it 1% or 2% each year. But let's talk about sales tax for a little bit. We just had a pretty wide distribution across the state in the last quarterly payment or monthly payment. Really redistributed a lot of things. I've taken a number of phone calls from the county leaders asking me why this occurred, what's going on. Does this mean with an increase that we got that the economy is back, that consumer spending is back? What do you know right now about sales tax as we approach two final months in 2020?
Yes, it's the big question right now for those are very legitimate questions for the county officials to be asking. Did my with this last redistribution, is my economy doing that much better, or is it some other thing? It really is the process the state has used historically to distribute sales tax, which is in a normal year works fine. The process was to use historical distributions of sales tax in 2 out of 3 months of the quarter, because the state doesn't exactly know what sales tax is attributed to which store when they receive the sales tax payments from businesses. And as, for an example, Walmart will send a giant check every month to the state of New York saying, this is how much sales tax we collected. It doesn't say which store sold, you know, how much sales taxes came from each store. They do that once a quarter when they file a sales tax quarterly filing with the state. And then that lines out everywhere, every store by zip code, by county, by town, by village, where the sale occurred. So at that point, they can redistribute exactly to where the money is supposed to be. In the months where they don't know, they use historical data. So last month, if, you know, or last year, you were 2% of total local sales tax. That's your starting point for distribution this year. Clearly in a pandemic year, this is not working because different parts of the state are shut down more, have more restrictions on commerce than other parts of the state. And a big factor here is New York City. New York City collects about half of all local sales tax. So they are under far more economic restrictions for a longer period of time than other parts of the state. So there's been an over distribution of funding in some months to downstate communities and New York City especially. And when those quarterly filings come in, they realize, oh, the money's gone to the wrong entity, let's fix that. So we need to redistribute it. And this October redistribution was very large. Over $200 million in funding was redistributed to the county. So it really made the numbers look very good. You know, 58 counties received more in their October payments than they did, or 56 counties received more in October than they did last year. But it was all because of that redistribution. So at the end of the day, though, it does tell us that over the last quarter, the counties were crawling out of the hole of the early restrictions from April, from March, April, May, where we were under very tight lockdown, a lot of restrictions on economic activity, very high losses in sales tax, you know, approaching 30% on average across the counties. Now we're getting into single digit reductions, and hopefully by the end of the year, more and more counties will be almost back to where they were, assuming there's no further major outbreak over the winter months.
County leaders have worked very hard, Dave, to promote economic development, whether it's in Main Street, small businesses, or larger corporations like a Walmart or a big box store or an Amazon. There's a lot of interest in that in upstate New York, or in, for that matter, downstate New York as well, to help invest in our economy, encourage and incentivize small businesses, mom and pop shops, pizza shops, things that serve our community. Of course, we went through a very difficult year. We don't know who will remain in business as we go through a soft lockdown, if you will. What do you think is going to happen with the other side of the pandemic? What have we learned about the hard lockdown? Which industries were affected the most? And as we return to what we have today, October, November of 2020, are those industries coming back? For instance, are people buying cars? Did clothing sales and apparel rebound? Did retail come back? Did restaurants come back even a quarter of what it was before the pandemic occurred in March? How can we look into a crystal as we can make it right now, into what will happen in first quarter of 21, second quarter of 21? How can local governments brace for what is likely to happen?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and the counties are struggling with that right now as they introduce their budgets. Just to say up front, you know, we do have a dozen or so counties that have submitted their budgets for 2021, and as we talked about, sales tax is a key revenue source for them. of the 12 or 13 counties that have submitted, every single county has been extremely conservative in their sales tax forecast for all of 2021. Most of them are expecting to collect less sales tax in 2021 than they budgeted for in 2020. These are anywhere from breaking even to what they projected for 2020 to 10% less than what they received in 2019. So it's a pretty big gamut. They're being very conservative on their sales tax. And a lot of it has to do with, you've talked about, you know, what industries were impacted the most up front. A lot of it had to do with, you know, how do you conduct your business and how does it involve social distancing? So businesses where people were jammed together or required high density of people to implement your business, restaurants, hotels, there are lots of travel restrictions, the airline industry and our airports and all the businesses associated with them, the transportation sector, lots of cutbacks early on in that process. And they're starting to rebuild themselves a little bit. But as you said, it's really hard to tell which of these small businesses are going to survive if this continues for another 6 months at a pace that is half of what it should be for this time of year for a lot of these businesses. And there's a whole other factor layered on top of this too, about, you know, we're coming up on the busy end of year holiday season, big shopping time of the year. You're seeing the big online sellers completely changing their format. We used to have Black Friday, and then we had Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And now we're seeing three Black Fridays starting this week. We had a Black Friday this week already. Is that going to have an impact on sales tax for counties as we move forward? Is that going to bring enough buyers into the marketplace to hopefully give us a boost at the end of the year? And will we be able to carry that forward into 2021? The big question is, we need to be able to control the virus so people are comfortable to do what they used to do. Go out to dinner, go to the movies. Movie theaters still aren't open at all. Hotels have recovered somewhat over the summer, especially in some of the, you know, higher trafficked resort areas. And Warren County is saying they have full occupancy right now for their hotels, or they were through the busy summer period. Other counties didn't fare as well. So it's going to be interesting to see through the end of the year where we are and how we'll go into next year. But I still think industries like tourism, restaurants are still going to be slow into next year. And I think counties in New York City especially are budgeting for that. You know, Broadway has indicated they are not going to reopen before June 1st of next year. That drives a lot of tourism into the city that's not there. And all the restaurants, just think, you've gone to a Broadway show. We've all probably all gone to the city for some event in the city around the holidays. You can't do that this year. So all the extra money you spend in restaurants and hotel rooms, that's not happening for, you know, one of the biggest city in our country. So it's a difficult dynamic to project into the future about your revenue projections, but we are seeing upticks. We are seeing some return to normalcy, but we're still far behind where we should be in a normal year.
So the county leaders should remain vigilant locally, understanding the economy locally, understanding the needs of their Main Street businesses, their larger employers in the area through their chambers of commerce and other business forums, and stay close to them. Because as you're describing, Dave, the way we work has been affected, and the way we will continue to be able to work will be affected as we go forward. Of course, the larger overarching concern remains mass gatherings. Really, in my mind, really any size. If you have a group of 5, 10, or 15, or 50, you have to do that very carefully. And I've participated in a number of them very carefully, keeping socially distant, wearing the masks, of course, washing your hands frequently, using the hand sanitizer. But traveling is a problem. People think it might be okay to carpool. Well, I know Mary, I can carpool with Mary. Well, just because you know someone or a bunch of people that you know, getting in the car together increases the risk of exposure. So traveling is an issue, traveling is a concern. Of course, nursing homes remains a concern for COVID. Visitation of our loved ones in nursing homes and so on and so forth remains a big concern. So the way we work, the way we gather, it is of course a concern for the culture institutions, our cultural museums in New York City or around the state closed. The Franklin Delano Roosevelt Home Museum has been closed since the beginning of the pandemic and remains closed to this date. That's tough. This is a tough thing we're going through. We have to keep these institutions at a limited operation or closed until we know more, until we have a vaccine. Dave, this is a very busy time for the state of New York. They went into the state budget process with a deficit, $6-7 billion. They appeared to have addressed that deficit when a budget was created in the early days or the midway point of the pandemic. On April 1st, the state enacted a budget that has to be balanced. So they created a budget to address their deficit. And then the pandemic affected the state of New York as well. Let's finish our conversation here talking about the state budget and why it matters to counties and the relationship to county governments. So the state had a $6 or $7 billion deficit. They went into the pandemic, and then through the months, three, four, 5 months into the pandemic, their revenues were hit hard. The governor reporting $14 billion economic impact, a shock to the state's economy. Over a four-year period, $60 billion. That is a pretty big number to tackle. How is the state faring right now? What is their fiscal year? And what is the county fiscal year? And how do they intertwine together? And give us your observations of where the state's financial situation is right now, and perhaps how it matters and why it matters to the counties.
Yeah, there's a lot in what you just asked there. We implement a lot of programs on behalf of the state. We, you know, we've talked about this before, and we're sort of the administrative arm of state government at the county level, where we implement a lot of social service programs, public health, public safety, under their rules. And we do it, we pay up front for most of these programs, and then we need reimbursement back for the state for their share of these programs. With a $14 billion deficit, the governor has publicly stated, I don't have that much money in my financial plan. I am going to have to cut local governments, all local aid, by 20% or more if the federal government does come through and help us out with some of the revenue losses we've had. So that's a key issue for counties. You know, a typical county gets anywhere from, on average, about 13 to 15% of its revenue might be state aid. You know, there's a big range in that, but to get a 20% cut in a big chunk of your reimbursement, because you can't avoid that expense. It's a state mandate. You have to provide the services, and we should be providing these services. A lot of these services in public health, social service, these are people desperately in need because of the pandemic, and the services have to be provided. But the state may pull back part of its funding. So that's a difficult thing. And on top of that, we're experiencing huge revenue losses. So it complicates the issue for counties to manage their own budgets. But the state, in addition, has a different fiscal year from us. And they even use a different method of accounting to finish their fiscal year. They're on a cash basis. Counties are on accrual basis, and our fiscal year is the calendar year. The state's fiscal year is April to the end of March, so they cross over calendar years. And we're seeing some of those timing issues about the end of our calendar year versus the end of the state fiscal year, and how they have moved, you know, some cuts that are going to happen for counties to January 2021 instead of doing it at the beginning of the state fiscal year. We've struggled with this last year, and it's been repeated in part of the way the state filled their budget hole during their current budget year was to to divert some sales tax from counties for state purposes. They've delayed that entire deduction from counties into January. So we're going to experience a double hit in calendar year 2021, our fiscal year for the counties, because of these timing issues with the state and how they can delay things or move things on a cash basis to finish out their fiscal year. That relationship with the counties sometimes is helpful because we can move things out of our current fiscal year into a different fiscal year or spread the cost across two fiscal years. In this situation, we're being hit twice for something because of the huge shortfalls the state has. You're right, $60 billion over 4 years is an astronomically large number, and we really do need some assistance from the federal government.
Well, the state is led by our governor, Andrew Cuomo, of course, and Andrew Cuomo relies on an extraordinary public servant, Robert Mujica, a very bright man who's in charge of the state finances. He gets it. He ran the legislature's finance committee in the New York State Senate for many, many years, a very capable individual who's at the helm, sits on a number of state authorities and other boards, a real financial wizard. The counties will work with the state very closely and help them through this situation as we always have. The counties have recently submitted a number of ideas up to the state to help navigate our way through that. Those ideas are available on the NYSEC web. As we close here, Dave, my last question that I wanted to ask you is the federal government's responsibility through this pandemic to help us. I'll note that New Jersey and Massachusetts did not shift costs to the local governments, where New York State has chosen to do that, take that course of action to shift costs to the local governments. It's my understanding that New Jersey and Massachusetts did not do that. What is the role of the federal government here to help in this crucial time, I'll say?
Yeah, it's like any other natural disaster a part of the country might face, whether it's a hurricane or wildfires that we're seeing. That's what we're typically used to in the federal response to a local disaster. This is the first time in our lifetimes that we've seen a national emergency that impacts every government and every state in the country at the same time. There's a natural disaster emergency declaration in the country for everybody. So the implications are, normally you fix what's broken. In a hurricane or a fire, something burns down or gets flooded, you repair the damage, and the economy keeps going under semi-regular business because people are not afraid to go out and do things. Now, the thing that's broken is the economy, and the revenues that were generated from economic activity evaporated for months at a time here, and they cannot be expected to fully recover. And especially for local governments and states, they have to balance their budgets. They can't print money like the federal government. And in these circumstances, this is the time where the federal government always steps up in natural disasters or national emergencies to help local governments, because we do support a lot of jobs. We pay a lot of contractors. We commit a lot to the national gross domestic product through the activities we do and the businesses we contract with to help provide services. So there's definite role here for the federal government. They did a lot up front. It was hugely beneficial to keep the economy afloat. They pumped a lot of money into the economy, provided assistance to people so they could maintain keeping up their bills and putting food on the table. A lot of that money has been expended and it's run out, and they sort of hit a brick wall in negotiations. And we're hoping that after the election, or even before, they'll be able to come to an agreement on another package, because that other money has run out. And when that money runs out, that's going to hurt consumer confidence and the ability for people to spend money in their communities. So
we really need to hope that they come through with something, because we have to balance our budgets locally, and you have no choice to either raise revenues or cut a whole lot of services to fill the back the holes.
Well, we'll leave it at that, Dave. I just want to say thank you, Dave, for all your work during the pandemic and prior to the pandemic, as we were working in a very controversial state budget negotiation process. Very grateful for all that you do for the counties of the state of New York, Dave. Thanks so much. That'll conclude today's podcast. We appreciate your listening, and tune in for the next one as we go forward. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. Keep tuning in to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss on the podcast.